Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 6. Romans, chapter 6 tonight. And we have been preaching for the last 6 months on the subject of the grace of God. And we started 3 weeks ago a series, and the series, in the middle of the series, has been entitled Disciplined by Grace. Disciplined by Grace. And I just would encourage you that that you would find your way through, if you were not here for either of the last two Sunday nights, to get the tape. I don't say that about every message. You can't afford it, we'll give it to you. It's not the point. The point is that these have been maturing type messages. In fact, I think we sent out some tapes. Some folks are on vacation and so forth. Maybe you got one in the mail. And we sent those out over the last couple of weeks to some of those folks that were not able to be here. And because I want you to get this, this is a matter that needs to be understood, being disciplined by grace. And so if you did not get one of those, be sure to let me know, and I'll be sure to help you with that. And tonight we're going to finish this series, Disciplined by Grace. Let's stand together and read in the book of Romans, chapter 6. We're going to read verses 11 through 18, and then we'll read verse 22. Romans chapter 6. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. We ask that in these next few moments, you would teach us about the life that is disciplined by grace and help us, Lord, to understand this matter, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Over the past several months, as we have studied the subject of grace, we have identified three major types of grace. In the New Testament, you will first of all find saving grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Saving grace is imputed to a man, or to a woman, or to a child, when by faith they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved. There is, first of all, in the life of the Christian, saving grace. Then we have preached many messages about serving grace. Serving grace. These messages have dealt with the matter of our everyday life of service unto Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28 says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And it is possible by God's grace to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that pleases Him. And what a privilege it is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ as we are enabled divinely by His grace. Serving grace is imparted by the Holy Spirit of God to a yielded Christian. And so there was, first of all, saving grace. There is, secondly, serving grace. And then for the last two Sunday nights, we have been studying what may be called sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace. Sanctifying means to set apart. And we have stated that while there are some modern day teachers who are teaching that grace allows us to live however we want to live, and that we must throw off the restraints of so-called legalistic tendencies. And while there are those who say that grace is a license to live the way that they want to live, we have seen that really Romans chapter 6 is not dealing with that kind of grace at all, but it is rather an entire chapter devoted to the subject of the sanctification of the believer and how grace in our hearts causes us to live a life that is more sanctified or more separated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says here in chapter number 6 and verse number 11, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Verse 13, "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin." And in this chapter, which is a chapter of grace, it also is going to teach us that grace is to sanctify us, or that it will set us apart as a people distinctively set apart for the Lord Jesus Christ. A proper understanding of grace, then, does not mean that I can live my way, do what I want to do, go where I want to go, be whatever I want to be, but it does mean that I am free to serve Jesus Christ. Just like a proper understanding of our liberty as American citizens does not mean that I can say what I want to do, burn the flag when I want to burn the flag, do whatever I want whenever I want, but I have freedom in this land to serve and to obey. And those great Christian principles which have made this nation a great nation are now being rebelled against in churches where those principles were first shared with our early American founders. And because of that, there is a type of spiritual anarchy or rebellion taking place in the lives of many believers today who are saying that grace is their license to live however they want to live. But if I am disciplined by grace, it means, simply, that I yield myself because of God's grace. I willingly yield myself, and I am disciplined by God's grace. Let me illustrate it this way. When I was in high school, I was on the high school basketball team. And as we went out for the basketball team, we had a coach who was of the old school. And he had several instructions that first day. And he said, for example, if you'll play on this basketball team, you will not drink any soft drinks. No Coke, no Diet Coke, no Dr. Pepper. He said, you will not drink soft drinks if you'll be on this basketball team. He said, furthermore, when we go to the basketball games, you will wear a suit to every game. You'll wear a suit on the game bus. You'll shower and change and get back on that bus with your suit on. And we're going to have a testimony as we're out on the road. This team's going to look sharp. He said, there'll be no profanity on this team. And he went on and on with all of the rules. Now, I didn't stand there as a ninth grade basketball player and say, what a legalist. Who is he to tell me what to drink? Why? First of all, he was the coach. And secondly, and perhaps most importantly, I was, if you'll catch the term, under basketball. I was under the discipline of basketball. And because I had yielded myself and placed myself under basketball, then whatever I needed to do for basketball and for the coach was not a burden to me. It was not something to argue about. It was something I gladly did so that I could be under basketball. And the more I understand God's grace, and the more I understand what He's done for me, when God presents to me an opportunity to serve, I don't need to rebel at that. I can simply say, Lord, under grace, I have freedom to serve you and to please you as I serve you day by day. But we live in a day and age when it goes against human nature to yield or to place ourselves under anything other than our own will. In addition, some Christian authors, as we've discovered in the last 2 weeks, are marketing away conviction. They are marketing away the concept of yielding, and they are finding a niche of those who love the concept of putting away the old view of being disciplined by grace, and they are going hog wild with the concept of grace, meaning I can be what I want to be and do what I want to do. And in fact, some of those who have espoused the new grace teachings have become extremely critical of old-fashioned churches who simply believe that grace is a discipline which causes me to be more yielded unto Jesus Christ and causes me to live not a less holy life, but a more holy life, dedicated, separated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, five times in Romans chapter 6, you'll find the word yield or yielded. Five times in this chapter that some authors say is all about liberation and all about freedom and all about being your own man. Five times, the Bible says, we're to yield ourselves to God. Five times this chapter says we're to yield our instruments unto God. And tonight, I would like to share with you in this final message about the grace life or being disciplined by grace, I would like to share with you four steps of the yielded life. And if you'll follow with me tonight, they'll build on each other like building blocks. A life that is yielded unto God. Now, first of all, tonight, because of God's grace, I yield. It is because of God's grace, I yield. Now, I want you to notice with me in verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Now, here we see that because of God's grace, I yield. Someone says, why should I yield my will? Why should I yield my life to the Lord Jesus? Because of the grace of God. And you see in this passage before us tonight, under grace, sin is defeated. The Bible is very clear. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. And under God's grace, sin is defeated. Now let's explain it this way. In the Word of God, in verse number 12, we see that sin will express itself through the body. The Bible is very clear in verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Sin will express itself through the body. The body, the natural body, the natural part of man, the carnal, fleshly, the Greek word psychikos, which means the flesh. Here in the Word of God, we see that sin will express itself through the body. Now then, if I have a proper understanding of grace, I'm not going to say then, let's just party hardy and let's fulfill every desire of this body. But under grace, I'm going to yield this body over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of grace, because of all that He's done for me in saving me, I do no longer desire to use this body for my own fleshly appetites and for my own lustful appetites, but rather to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Under grace, I yield. Turn, if you would, to Romans 12 for just a moment, just over a few pages, and let's be reminded of this very important passage in Romans 12, 1 and 2. These are verses which are not often quoted by the new grace teachers, but they are vital verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, can I draw your attention tonight to the phrase, by the mercies of God? The term mercy and grace are interrelated terms, and God is telling us here, because of the mercy of God, or we could say because of the grace of God in saving us, it is not unreasonable that we should yield our bodies over to Him. It would be similar to saying, because of the coach's mercy and because of his selecting of me for the basketball team, I very gladly yield over my Diet Coke. I very gladly yield over my dress preference. I very gladly lay aside some of these things so that I can be under basketball. And because of God's grace, I very gladly yield my body unto Him, Romans 12, 1, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Notice this, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable, God is saying. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Now the new grace teachers are advocates of various different types of modern outreach and various different types of so-called ministry that is conformed unto this world. But the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So sin oftentimes expresses itself through the body, but God says, under grace, we will yield our body as a living sacrifice unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, because of God's grace, I yield my body as a living sacrifice. Secondly, because of God's grace, I must cooperate with God. Now notice what it says in verse number 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. The Bible is teaching that I must yield myself unto the Lord. I must cooperate with God. If I'm going to enjoy victory over the flesh, I must cooperate with God, and I must determine that sin will not be sovereign in my life. There is a place in my heart where I must make a choice. I must come to a place of decision. The Apostle Paul made this decision about his own body. I would draw your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25. And here's the testimony of the Apostle Paul. And he says this, and every man, 1 Corinthians 9:25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. And here it is, verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I should have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The Apostle Paul says, some people run a race for a corruptible crown, but the race we're running, called the Christian life, we're running it for an incorruptible crown, because one day every one of us will stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And when we stand there, we'll be glad that under grace we yielded these bodies, not to our own fleshly desires, but we yielded these bodies under the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I cooperate with God by yielding my body unto Him and saying, Lord, I want to partner with You under grace. I gladly partner with You to serve You and to bring glory to You. And we yield ourselves to God. The Bible says in verse number 13, the second part of the verse, but yield yourselves unto God. Romans 6:13. Now, please note tonight that each of us as Christians are responsible moral agents. God says that each of us have a free will. We are responsible moral agents. We have the choice to yield ourselves to God or to rebel against God. We have the choice tonight to live for the Lord or to live for self. And the Bible teaches in Romans 6 that when you really understand grace, you will not live for self. You will not look for every loophole to be what you think you want to be in the fleshly, worldly sense, but you will look for every opportunity to be what God would have you to be. You will abstain from questionable lifestyles, which could bring down the name of Christ, and you will look for a life that will be pleasing unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Under grace, we are responsible moral agents who will make the right decision, not because the law mandates it, not because someone else mandates it, but because of grace, I choose to yield myself and to partner myself with God, and I choose to cooperate with Him. James chapter 4, verses 5 through 8, the same principle. In fact, let's turn there very quickly, because there is such a misunderstanding about grace. And I want you to see what the Bible says. I encourage you to listen to the last 6 months of tapes, and you will hear hundreds upon hundreds of scriptures in these messages dealing with the subject of grace and showing us the discipline of grace. James chapter 4 and verse 5. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Once again, in Romans it is the word yield. In James, it is the word submit. And when a man understands grace, he's not rebellious. He's not saying, I'll have it my way or the highway. When a man really understands grace, he is more submissive. When someone says, I'll tell you right now, I understand grace, and I have freedom to go out and live the way that I want to live. You mark it down, friend. They do not understand grace. Grace, according to James, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so we see in the Word of God that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. That's that fleshly spirit. But the Bible said God gives us more grace. And so we see that first of all, because of God's grace, I will yield unto Him. Sin will express itself through my body unless I yield my instruments unto Him. And I must cooperate with God, bringing my body into subjection, not with a bad attitude, but willingly saying, Lord, after all You've done for me, I want my body, I want my life to be pleasing unto You. And then if we are going to yield ourselves because of God's grace, we must thirdly claim the truth of the Word of God. And there's a truth here in verse 14 that if you're going to yield yourself under God's grace, you must believe this truth. Notice verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. For sin shall not have dominion over you. God says if you are under grace, you will not be under the dominion of sin. Now, friend, I want you to understand this. We're going to talk briefly again tonight about this matter. Every Christian needs guidelines in his life. Every Christian school needs guidelines. Every home needs guidelines. How many of you parents have guidelines? Some of you don't. Do you have guidelines for your children? So you don't want to raise your hand because you want me to be the only legalist in the building. Every home has guidelines. Every company has guidelines. Every church, by the way, has guidelines. Some people might make fun of our standards. The fact is that other churches have standards. They're just different than ours. That's all. Now, I want to be very clear on this, and I've tried to reiterate this throughout these last few weeks. It is not the belief of this pastor that those guidelines are the ultimate way or reason for living the holy life. It is the belief of this pastor from the Word of God that being under grace is what will cause us to live the holy life. That does not take away from the importance of having guidelines. But we are not saying that because of guidelines, there's going to be right living. Because even in your home, moms and dads, with your teenagers, though you have guidelines, you're praying that God's grace will reveal itself in the heart of those children so that they will choose to do what is right because they are individual moral agents who must make a choice. And as they grow in grace, they too will make the right choice. As they rebel, like some of you moms and dads have, they'll make the wrong choice. But as they yield their instruments unto God, they'll make the right choice. And the great motivator of the Christian life is an understanding of God's grace. Do we need guidelines? I believe absolutely yes. But is that the motivation? Am I living tonight for the Lord because the Bible says I can't drink, cuss, chew, and run with them that do? Is it the strict law of the matter that causes me? Is it some leadership guideline that causes me to live right? No, the reason that I want to live right is because I want to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm under grace. You're not looking at a pastor tonight who feels this heavy burden of the law and who feels, oh man, I can't go out and do certain things because of the law. No, rather the attitude is, because of God's grace, I've yielded my instruments unto God. So, because of God's grace, I yield. All right. Now, will you say that with me? First of all, tonight, we're going to just have a quick lesson. This won't be long tonight. We're going to sum it all up tonight. Because of God's grace, I yield. Let's say that together. Because of God's grace, I yield. One more time. Because of God's grace, I yield. All right. The reason that I yield my life is because I'm under grace. Because I'm under grace. All right. That's important. That's why we yield. Now, secondly, if you're taking notes, because I yield, I am free. Because I yield, I am free. Now, that's not logical. That's not understood by the natural man. But it is biblical. How many of you realize there are a lot of paradoxes in the Bible? For example, in the Bible, the way up is down. That's Bible, amen? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall what? Lift you up. The way up is down. In the Bible, the way to get is to what? Give. That's the way the Bible teaches it. Here's another paradox. In the Bible, it says, as I yield, I am free. Now, the rebellious man, the rebellious woman, does not want to yield. My flesh does not want to yield. Your flesh does not want to yield. But it is as I yield my instruments unto God that I really find freedom. Now, again, I'll use the illustration of the criminal. If he's out on the street and he's not breaking any law and he's yielding himself to that law, how many of you understand he's free? How many of you understand when he pulls a handgun and robs the store and the police officer walks by, he just lost his freedom because he didn't yield? And so when I yield myself spiritually, I am free. All right, let's look at verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Now look at this in verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Now the illustration is that of the master and the slave, but it's more spiritual than that. The Bible says here, if I yield myself unto sin, then the consequence is death. And if I yield myself unto obedience, then the consequence is righteousness. So whatever you yield to will become your master. Let me say it again. Whatever you yield to will become your master. So if I yield to grace, grace is my master. And whatever I yield to becomes my master. And because I yield to God's grace, I am now free to serve Him. Let me illustrate it this way. How many of you realize that a rebellious person is enslaved by rebellion? They're enslaved by it. And many times teenagers grow up to become adults, become moms and dads who are still, you know, struggling. And by the way, I love you tonight. That's great. That's fine. We're going to work together on the same team, but they still struggle. Rebellious people are enslaved by their rebellion and they don't even know it. They just got that attitude. Look, the rule could be, don't put gum on the back of the pew. And it's not that they disagree with the rule, it's that they don't like being told what to do. Don't raise your hand if that's where you're at, all right? It's like, all right, fine. That's the rebellious person. They are yielded to a rebellious spirit. That rebellious spirit becomes their master. That's what it says. Let's look again. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. So if you are a servant, it says, of sin unto death, but unto obedience, then it's unto righteousness. Now, we do not yield, this is very important, we do not yield to the law, we yield to grace. Now here is the belief that we have. It is possible to yield to grace and along the pathway of grace still have some distinctive guidelines. The Bible in Proverbs calls them ancient landmarks that guide us, just like the highway has guidelines. And yet as we yield ourselves to grace, then we gladly are free in this matter of obedience. And so we do not yield to the law, but we yield to grace. John Phillips, in his commentary on Romans, said it this way. The attitude that grace gives us a license to sin makes deliverance from its power impossible. God says here in verse number 15, how shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. God says, I don't want you under sin anymore. And for someone to say grace means I have a license to sin, they're not going to be freed from the power of sin if they believe they have a license to sin. And so rather than saying, I'm free to sin, Romans 6 is saying, I'm free to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm free to yield. And because I yield, I am a free person. So if I yield myself unto obedience, then I have freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ and in righteousness. Hear me. If I yield myself under rebelliousness, the Bible says, then I become the servant of sin. I have in my life a spiritual decay process that is taking place. So, first of all tonight, because of God's grace, I yield. Why do I yield? Because I'm under grace. That's why. Why does the basketball player yield? Because he's under basketball. Why does the football player yield? Because he's under football. By the way, why do you yield at work tomorrow? Because you put yourself under their corporate policy. Why is it that we'll go to work and put ourselves under a work umbrella, but we want to have a problem with it at church? By the way, you probably have a problem with it at work too, but truth were known. But you see, the truth of the matter is, because of God's grace, I yield to His will. I yield my instruments unto Him. Now, because I yield, I'm free. Do you understand that principle? because I yield myself, I'm free. Now, you mark it down. The man who's saying tonight, bless God, I don't care what that preacher says. If I want to go out and have a six-pack, bless God, I'll go out and have one. I want to go out and party once in a while. I'll just go out and party once in a while. I'll go out and be free. He's not free. He's not free. And as he yields himself to his self-will, the Bible verse in verse 16 says he becomes a slave to whatever he yields himself to. So the question is simply this tonight. Are you a slave to your self-will or are you a slave to God's grace? That's the question. And if you're a slave to God's grace, then you're free tonight. It's simple, but it's profound. If you're a slave to God's grace, you are free. If you're a slave to your self-will, then you are not free. And so as I yield myself to Jesus Christ, I am free. So number one, because of God's grace, I yield. Number two, because I yield, I am free. All right, remember the prodigal son. The prodigal son one day goes to his father. He says, hey, I'm tired of all these requirements around here. I'm tired of all the things you want me to do. I'm tired of the way you want me to dress. I'm tired of the way you want me to live. Give me my money right now. I want my freedom. And instead of yielding to his father, he yielded to his fleshly desires. How many of you understand what I just said is exactly contextually true? Do we understand that? His father gave him his money. He goes out and starts bar hopping. He goes out. I can just hear him as he sits at the bar. I tell you, that dad of mine's got so many rules. I tell you what, I'm free. I don't have to do all those things now. The drinks are on me, boys. I tell you right now, I can see him as he unbuttons the top three buttons and lets his little gold chain show out of his chest. I can see him as he puts his earring in. No one gonna tell me what to dress like. I'll find me a church that'll let me teach Sunday school with this here earring here. See? Now he's saying, I'm having freedom, he's saying. But one day he wakes up in the pig's pen. And he says, I'm not free at all. Because whatever you yield yourself to, you become the slave of it. And he became the slave to himself. What a tragic life. But guess what? He goes back to the Father. And he goes back to the Father and he says, Father, I've sinned. Father, will you forgive me? Father, I yield unto you. I'll be one of your servants. Huh. What does the Father say now that he's back under grace? Bring the fatted calf. Bring out the gold ring. My son has returned. And because he's yielded to me, I'm going to set him free. That's your choice. Go out and have your way. Go out and do what you want. Or yield unto the Heavenly Father. And his truth will not restrict you. His truth will set you free. So, because of God's grace, I yield. Because I yield, I am free. Let's say those two points together. Number one, because of God's grace, I yield. All right. Because of God's grace, I yield. And because I yield, I am free. That's where freedom is, in the yielded life to Jesus Christ. All right, number three. This is where it comes in very important here. Number three. Because I am free. How many of you believe you're free tonight? Under grace, all right? By the way, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Under grace, you can go out and drink, go out and watch a pornography movie, and still be saved. You want to stretch the issue. But now, wait a minute. How many of you understand that just because you're under grace and just because you can do these things doesn't mean you should do those things? Because of God's grace, rather, I'm not going to abuse that grace. I'm going to yield to God's grace. And because I yield, I am free. And thirdly, because I am free, I can choose to serve. Because I am free now, I can choose to serve. Now, this is in verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. The phrase there, form of doctrine, it's like those of you that work in construction and you mold something up for pouring of the concrete, or you work in art and you mold something. And it's talking about here this matter of a heart molded to the gospel And because I am free, I can choose to serve. And so he says, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So I'm free now from sin. I'm under grace. I can do whatever I want to do. Can I go live a more loose lifestyle? Sure, I could and still be saved. But God forbid, I am now free to choose to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the free grace crowd states in their writings and radio broadcasts that a pastor like myself or Christians like you are under real bondage and we're just being manipulated from the joy of drink. And we're just, you're under, by their estimation, just really under control tonight because after all, you're really challenged to come to church and not to attend wicked movies or whatever the case might be. And they view that as being under bondage or because we would teach some type of moral standards. Boy, that's just such a terrible, terrible thing. Now, please hear me tonight. You are looking at a pastor tonight, and I believe I'm looking at people tonight who understand totally our liberty in Jesus Christ. I mean, we understand we're free to do what we want to do, but we choose with this liberty rather than to go out and do these other things to become the servants of righteousness. It is not a matter of do fundamental Baptists understand grace. We understand grace and we choose under grace to serve Jesus Christ and to live a sanctified life for Jesus Christ. I'm sick and tired of these new evangelical, some even so-called independent Baptists who want to say they're old-fashioned when in reality they are teaching a new grace, tickling the ears of rebellious people and saying that we do not understand grace, we understand grace, and under grace we still have the right. If they have the right to choose a looser lifestyle, I have the right then to say I'm going to yield my instruments unto God. And it does not mean that we do not understand grace. Now, when Chuck Swindoll states, and I'll be glad to furnish you the quotes, and they're in the bookstore tonight if you want them. When he states that under this freedom policy, that we should be able, and that we should not bother people who want to listen to rock music, or who want to have the freedom to smoke, that we should not be so legalistic to speak against these types of things. When he states that type of thing, and when he says that any pastor who would say someone ought not to listen to rock music is just some kind of a control freak, I would have to lovingly differ with him in this matter. I would have to say that he's a brother in Christ, but that I would differ because I believe it is the responsibility of every Christian under grace to yield himself according to verse number 16 in obedience unto righteousness. And my personal conviction is simply this, that people who become involved with tobacco, who become involved with alcohol, who become involved with certain types of movies will not be obedient unto righteousness, but they will, as verse 16 says, become obedient unto sin and death. And so they can call me what they want to call me, friend. The fact of the matter is, because we love people in this church, we believe that under grace we should yield ourselves as unto the Lord Jesus Christ, yield our instruments as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that means from time to time we're going to name some sin that's not specifically named in the Bible, then we will name that because of grace and not because of law, but because of the teaching of grace, which is a discipline unto holiness, not unto our own lifestyle of living. The bottom line is that under grace, we are free to establish guidelines for living. That is not against grace. It is consistent with grace. Now, some would say that to list anything, any kind of a sin that's not specifically stated in the Bible is legalistic. And they'll say, if you list anything that's not in the Bible. For example, folks, I have never read a verse that says, thou shalt not smoke marijuana. But I'm against it. And I'm telling you, literally, some of these authors are saying, anybody that tells you anything that's not specifically in the Bible is overstepping their bounds, and I disagree with that.
I believe it's the responsibility of a Bible preacher to interpret the Word of God so that it is relevant to the culture of the day and so that he's naming issues that are relevant to that day. And that's not overstepping a bound. That is simply bringing the truth down to where it is easily and clearly understood. Now, Ernest Pickering, in his book entitled Our Fundamentalist Legalist, states these following words, and I'll read a few quotes tonight. Some general categories included in scriptural lists that should be made are now particularized. We mean by this to say that principles would need to be applied to particular sins. As an example, the Apostle Paul mentions lasciviousness and uncleanness, which we have called sensuality and impurity. But what specific things should be considered sensual or impure? According to the Free Grace author's thinking, we would be legalistic to attach specific application to these words. We would be putting people under bondage on a list of taboos, which these authors abhor. And one of the list of taboos includes the wearing of certain clothing. In other words, no church should ever mention about these matters. No Christian school should ever mention about these matters. If they do, it is a list of taboos that is just placing someone under bondage. Some Christian colleges prohibit their women from their women students from wearing see-through blouses. Could you imagine? Some Christian colleges actually prohibit that. Why, can you imagine putting a list of rules before students? What terrible, terrible bondage. The thing that just amazes me is that the spirit which has brought such anarchy into our country is actually coming into churches today. It absolutely amazes me. Some Christian colleges prohibit their women students wearing see-through blouses. Why, Pickering asks? Because God commands that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, which means decency and discreetness. Now, that's not Baptist, that's the Bible, which is Baptist too. But school authorities must make a judgment. School authorities must make a judgment. What kind of attire is decent and discreet? Are they legalistic in doing so, or is this prohibition a proper application of the warning against sensuality and indecencies? We believe that it is a proper application. It is, however, an application and not something that is specifically named on the list in Scripture. So the teaching of many of these teachers is that under grace, you can do whatever you want that's not named specifically in Scripture. But we believe that under grace, as we yield our instruments unto righteousness, there are some things that are mentioned in principle in Scripture that must be applied in principle and that we must set down as something that must be lived according to in our homes, in our churches, in our Christian school, whatever the case may be. And while the liberal crowd is endeavoring to rephrase and redefine all of these matters, the truth of the matter is that God-loving, God-fearing people throughout the ages have believed that we are disciplined by grace to live a more holy life. Under grace, we are not bound to do any particular thing. We are set free to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's use the illustration of giving, shall we? Turn over to 2 Corinthians for just a moment. Because grace affects every part of the life. And we're just going to use 2 Corinthians 8 because it's a good illustration to look at. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. How many of you understand if you want to take grace to its utmost emphasis that under grace you don't have to give one penny to this church the rest of your life and you still get to go to heaven? How many of you understand that? That's proof that this church does not teach legalism, because legalistic churches teach you have to do certain things to gain merit with God the Heavenly Father, and grace churches teach it's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound, Paul writing to the Corinthians, in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this what? See that ye abound in what?
Grace.
This grace also. He's saying, I want you to really abound in this grace. Now, verse 8, I speak not by commandment. I speak not by what?
Commandment.
But by the occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love.